Welcome everyone to the Damage Report and big news Wednesday. Wow. I don't always hear that bumper. I couldn't really hit that note. What's going on, everybody? I'm Francesca Fiorentini in for John Idarola and joined by the wonderful Sharon Reed back in TDR after just hosting on Monday. Sharon, welcome.
Thank you. It was, I think we did okay. It wasn't John, but it was fun.
You did great. I mean, fantastic Mondays could not have been repped better than by you and Jackson. I thought it was excellent. As much as I want to hear, I can't wait for John's thoughts on the bloodbath comment. But don't worry, there's more Trump BS today. It's nothing but ghouls this Wednesday. Just a ghoul to ghoul lineup. A little bit of election news from last night's primaries. And then I think one of the most interesting stories of the week thus far, which is the origin story of Alina Habba that has to do with a different hush money case involving Trump, but not one that you might be expecting or one that you know about. But it's now probably going to get her into a lot of trouble. So stay tuned for that. But while you're here, of course, you know what to do. You're liking the stream, you're sharing it, letting people know what you watch on a Wednesday morning. Also, click the little alarm so people know, or so you know when we're going live. I mean, sometimes you just miss it and you're like, no. And of course, send us your comments and super chats. I'll be reading them out throughout the show. Always appreciated, always loved. You know, you take good care of us while Dragon Daddy is away taking care of his baby. So without further ado, Sharon, are you ready to kick this off?
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right. Listen to these shrill tones, everyone.
Are you confident that you can pay $464 million?
I built a great company, one of the greatest companies anywhere in the country, especially when it comes to real estate. Have some of the greatest assets in the world. And this is a rigged trial. This was a rigged trial by a crooked judge and a crooked attorney general. And we're fighting it out with them. We have a lot of cash and we have a great company, but they want to take it away, or at least take the cash element away. Billions of dollars in value, billions of dollars in properties, but they'd like to take the cash away so I can't use it on the campaign. And this is just a corrupt group of people. It's election interference, and we'll see how the courts rule on it. And I'll be guided by the courts.
Will you though? Because you're currently appealing the court's decision. This, if you're just catching up on all of the trials or can't really parse this one, this is the New York fraud trial. Of course, the overinflation of his assets, lying about what he was worth when he needed money, and obviously when he had to pay taxes on it, overinflating, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Judge Arthur Engoron did order him to pay $350 million plus interest in those damages, but he is appealing. So that is automatically skyrocketing to $464 million. And it is very difficult to come up with the money. There was another company, I think it was named like Chubbs, very funny name, that actually helped him out with the settlement for the E. Jean Carroll trial. This time, he doesn't got it. So despite countless hours of negotiating with one of the largest insurance companies in the world, obtaining an appeal bond in the full amount is not possible under the circumstances presented. If he, Trump, is unable to come up with the money, the former president could put up his own assets as collateral, like Mar-a-Lago, which is worth $100 billion. Should he lose the appeal, he would be required to pay the full judgment by March 25th, people, 5 days. Or risk having his assets seized. So this is what is happening, y'all. He needs someone to help him post this bond because he's trying to appeal in this case. And if not, he got 5 days, y'all. So obviously, I mean, he's pre-roll adding all over the place, but he's also taking Truth Social to have a public freak out. Here's just a smattering of bleats. The corrupt, you gotta put this on, otherwise I'm sort of naked without my bleat. Thank you. Corrupt political hacks. Judge and AG are asking me to put up massive amounts of money before I'm allowed to appeal. No, that's the process. Engoron wants me to put up a ridiculous fine. I did nothing wrong, except he found you libel. Like, you lost. Just goes on and on with the Engoron stuff. Engoron wants me to put up this ridiculous fine. Engoron will not do what the appellate division has ordered him to do on statute of limitations. Buddy, the statute of limitations for you to keep whining is over. Like, you lost. You can appeal it, but you got to shell out the money to appeal it. And again, he doesn't have that. And then, of course, goes after Attorney General Letitia James and on and on and on. So he keeps on going, nobody has ever heard of anything like this before, except all the time. Assets are frozen when you can't come up with the money for any kind of settlement. I mean, you want to, Sharon, the number of people who are wallowing in prison or jail right now because they can't come up with the money to post bond, post bail, or the people who are having their homes repossessed because they can't pay their debts. I mean, hello, welcome to the real world, oh silver spooned criminal. But yeah. Your thoughts, 5 days.
Well, this may surprise some people, but it's almost cruel at his age. You have to understand, he's never been held to account in his entire life. And it looks like for the time being, he's squirreling out of, you know, some very serious federal trials as well. And so when we dare apply rules that others have to abide by to this privileged, unhinged, unwell man, I can kind of see why he's so upset and complaining. He doesn't understand why someone's not coming to his rescue or excusing him. Where's the note that excuses him from this problem?
Yeah,
where's
totally.
The pass? I get it. Now, I find it delicious that he's just like millions and millions of people. He doesn't have the liquid to get rid of this. It's actually fantastic. And a black woman is about to seize his assets. That's the giggly part.
Yes, I just wish it seize his ass. I just don't like the way that works linguistically. But you're right. The question is, why is no one coming to bail out Donald Trump? After all, he gave billionaires massive tax breaks. And a lot of people are actually wondering, like, why one of his buddies won't put up the money for him. Here is Fox's Neil Cavuto asking senior Fox business correspondent Charlie Gasparino about this question. And it's a really honest and interesting answer. Take a look.
As of yet, none of his billionaire friends are ponying up money, from what I understand. I've been asking them. I mean, there are a lot of them. I mean, Bernie Marcus today, the former Home Depot founder, wrote an op-ed that's saying the country needs to rally around Trump. You know, as of now, I don't think Bernie's worth $6 billion. I don't think he's given any money.
What is behind their reluctance?
Well, it's as of now, so let's see.
I mean, are they afraid that they might not see it anytime soon? The money, if he even succeeds on appeal, what's
yeah? I mean, that's one thing. I mean, I think I don't want to, you know, I don't want to speak for Bernie Marcus. That's for sure. But just generally, Donald doesn't have a great record at paying back banks over the years, and Donald Trump. So you can sort of surmise from that what you will. But if you think about it, he has friends or did like Steve Schwartz. Over at BlackRock. He has, Tom Barrack, the hedge fund billionaire. I mentioned Bernie, Howie Lorber. I mean, go down the list. You got to ask yourself why they're not throwing him some bucks now.
I love this. This is one of the most revealing things I've seen in a long time because number one, he's literally listing billionaire friends of Donald Trump's who have supported him in elections past and may very well vote for him again. And then he's like naming him, calling him out. Why not? And then he says, because he doesn't have a good record of paying folks back. But I have thoughts on this, Sharon. I don't know if you agree, but like just so some evidence. Of not paying folks back. Donald Trump stiffs his contractors regularly. CNN reported that. Newsweek, 14 US cities still waiting for Trump campaign to pay nearly $2 million in police and public safety bills. And then, oh, this cute one. Trump offers food for everyone at a restaurant and then bye-bye, skip the check. So it is. Yeah, he does this time and time again. Here's my thing with it. Either they think they've squeezed all they can squeeze out of Donald Trump and he's too toxic. Because I don't actually think it's about the money. These are billionaires. They could cough up it's a lot, but $464 million. And like, they don't necessarily need that. They're gonna make it back thanks to the Trump tax cuts. They've gotten what they wanted, but they could always get more. If Trump is reelected, Sharon, I talked about this on the Bituation Room yesterday, that those Trump tax cuts will be extended. There will be more of them for these billionaires. So I don't know, what do you think? Do you think one of them will pony up in the next like 5 days?
No. He's not. That was a 2-minute response over there on Fox Business. That could have been reduced to a single sentence. He ain't good for it. So no, they're not. And he might not win. It's too much money. It's a percentage of even a billionaire's net worth. Okay, Marcus, who you mentioned, the former Home Depot founder. No. When I loan friends money, I don't call it a loan. If I can't afford to lose it, I don't give it. And so if you kind of work with that formula, this would be the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah.
The dumbest thing ever.
No, I think that's exactly. It's not no money. It's a lot of money and he may not win. And if he does not win, and they must have their ear to the ground. And also, I think the last thing I want to say before we move on is that it kind of shows that honestly, it shows that the economy is actually still pretty good for these billionaires under Biden. Like there's a little hint of that, that there is no like Marxist agenda that they're losing their money. No, they've been price gouging under Biden. Anyway, however, Fox's Jeanine Pirro has a different take on why Trump cannot pay this money and why New York needs his money. Take a look.
It's more than $454 million. It's 120% of that. That is almost a half a billion dollars in cash. Give me a break. And I'll tell you why they don't want to take a risk and give him that money. The reason they don't want to take a risk and do that is because this market, this real estate market in New York is very, very vulnerable. Nobody knows what the valuations are worth anymore. New York is now a crime-ridden city. There is crime all over, immigrants all over. They're about to go bankrupt because of the immigrants in the hotels and all the areas of New York City.
New York City is going bankrupt, and so they don't want to loan him money. They being the billionaires, I think, and Trump's friends, which we've been talking about. But that's fun. I love that the idea is like, it's New York City's problem. And I'm not really sure where her xenophobia is going. Is it New York is broke and needs Trump's money since this is a New York trial? Or is it the investors aren't confident in, I guess, real estate, but a lot of them aren't real estate tycoons. Again, Home Depot, like, so, but help me out. I think she was just sort of like stream of consciousness it. And then, you know, whatever sort of morning port that she drinks just like kicked into like immigrants. But maybe you have some thoughts, Sharon.
Well, I don't. I have some thoughts about what she might have taken a hit of in the green room. But other than that, Judge Jeanine proves again that she too is unwell and dishonest. All the things she named there, New York is still standing. New York will always be standing. And I can tell you this, you're not going to get a New York condo or apartment in a fire sale that, or I won't speak for your money, that normal folks can afford. It's just not going to happen. Even Rudy's condo, you're not going to be able to afford it. New York real estate's doing just fine. And when they take the name off of certain buildings, it does even better.
Yeah, I mean, and ironically, and this is where there's a lot of classism, but like, a lot of New York real estate is inflated and thanks to immigrants. Like there are a lot of foreign investors whom Trump has dealt with his entire career, as well as other billionaires. And they've jacked up the prices of apartments and luxury condos. and everything's coming up roses for them. Meanwhile, average people cannot find a place to live. But let's turn to another Trump trial. You all know, obviously, that Judge Eileen Cannon in Florida is overseeing the stolen documents case. And this is the one that everyone's wondering, what's she gonna do? How's she gonna put her finger on the scale? And she is doing it. We're seeing it play out. Not only has she punted this trial, which has punted other trials, but she's now issuing weird directives for the jury in this trial. There are some weird instructions, and even though she has not even explicitly said when it's gonna be held, here's what she's having jurors do by April the 2nd. There's two topics related to defense motions that have to have the indictment just completely dismissed. Be like, you know, we wanna do the trial, but also in case the jury would like to throw it out, here's possible ways you could throw out this entire documents case. Cannon asked the prosecutors, according to the Washington Post, and defense attorneys to consider two different hypothetical situations, writing, the parties must engage with the following competing scenarios and offer alternative draft text that assumes each scenario to be correct, to be a correct formulation of the law. Okay. So just play out my little fantasy. In the first scenario, Cannon said the jury would be allowed to review a former president's possession of a record and make a factual finding whether it is personal or presidential using the definition set forth in the Presidential Records Act, known as the PRA. Confusingly, she also added this footnote that said, quote, any separation of powers or immunity concerns shall be included in this discussion if relevant, meaning, consider if, because he is the president, he is immune from this entire thing. Obviously, that's for a judge to decide, not a jury. The second scenario Cannon wants them to consider describes one in which a president has the, quote, sole authority under the PRA to categorize records as personal or presidential during his or her presidency. Neither a court nor a jury is permitted to make a review or review such a categorization decision. So, in other words, exactly what Donald Trump has said. Under the Presidential Records Act, I can declassify things with my mind. Think about it. So number one, think about if this is personal or private. Think about if their immunity is even a thing. And then think about whether or not under the Presidential Records Act, we should even be doing this thing in the first place. So that to me is wild. She basically also warned about the Espionage Act and like, how can you use an Espionage Act against the former president? I thought this was for like whistleblowers like Edward Snowden and Julian Assange and such. But she's trying, Sharon. She's really trying to pull this one out for DJT.
In a bird brain, I could care less about my reputation kind of way. She is doing just that. What you just said, quoting her, is a mouthful. That really leads to nowhere, except as you said, in this little brain of 45, regurgitating, as you indicated, exactly what he's requested, that every legal pundit that I've listened to, hell, even a kid taking the LSAT, knows is hogwash, okay?
Yeah.
Doesn't apply in many instances to the evidence and the facts, the underlying facts as alleged in the government's information here and in the indictment. It's not true, okay? But yes, she is wearing a robe and I believe she is playing the part of a federal judge, but the performance,
no. Yeah. No, and the like, if this trial were to actually go forward and the jury is presented, I'm assuming with heavily redacted information or the kinds of things, because it won't just be whether or not he withheld. I mean, there's two facets of this, right? I mean, there was clearly an obstruction of justice here because he was asked for months to hand these documents over. But I'm assuming they're gonna get insight into and be privy to what kinds of documents. So again, one of her scenarios is, hey, look at what like Obama took and then decide. Well, you can't look at what Obama took without looking at what Trump took. You have to go forward with the trial. Go let you know, the defense bring that. That shouldn't be a precursor to a trial or rational or sort of a basis to throw it out. But anyway, I'm probably as versed in the law as Cannon. All I know is you can't hide from the DOJ, you idiot. stop moving boxes around different golden bathrooms in your property. Anyway, let's take our first break. There's so much more. I swear not Trump news, but sort of Trump adjacent news. But I'm sorry and I apologize. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to The Damage Report with Francesca Fiorentini, Sharon Reed there. John will be back. Do not fret. The Dragon Daddy is off doing daddy duty. But we have some election results and some interesting polling numbers that could be trouble for Donald Trump in November. Let's start with this.
Now, our Fox News voter analysis shows that somewhere between 5 and 10 and 6 and 10 of those Nikki Haley voters say they won't vote for Trump in November. If even a fraction of those voters deliver on that promise and stay home or vote third party or just split their votes or something, Trump loses.
Trump loses. Again, I love those words. And so that was the some analysis coming out of primary elections from Florida, Ohio, Arizona, Illinois, and Kansas. So, you know, Ohio being a major swing state. And turns out that Nikki Haley did better than many people thought, even though she is technically out of the race. She brought in over 500,000 votes. And in each state, between 10 to 25% of primary voters did go out to vote, but they did not pull the lever for Trump. Now, like the commentator said, like all you have to just continue that energy and we shall see. I've told John Nidarola that I feel that this will be actually a quite low voter turnout year. And unlike 2020, it's just a matter of which candidate loses more votes, Biden or Trump? Which candidate's base stays home? But hey, this is what we've got. Welcome to democracy in heavy quotations. But let's look at the stats. 20% of the Ohio GOP primary voters would be dissatisfied, they said, with Trump as the nominee. This is according to Newsweek, in Newsweek. 22% say he lacks the temperament to serve effectively. God, only 22. And 28% he wouldn't be fit for office if convicted of a crime. 18% say they wouldn't support Trump in November, with 10% of that number preferring Biden and 8% saying they wouldn't vote for either. 10% is not nothing to say to flip. Remember, nationally in 2020, 6% of Republicans actually voted for Biden. Cause like he believed that, you know, they should be alive and stuff. I assume much of the criticism of Trump comes from Haley voters who did turn out despite her departure from the race. Absentee voting opened in Ohio February 21st. Again, folks have been voting for a while. 2 weeks before she suspended her campaign, 8 in 10 say they wouldn't vote for him, Trump, in either the general election, with 47% preferring Biden and 32% saying they wouldn't vote for either candidate. Just 18% of Haley voters say they'd vote for Trump in the fall. That is not a lot. Now, a lot of these elections did not have close primaries, meaning like Democrats and independents could sway the results in November, obviously. But in Florida, there's also an interesting Haley little boost here. 19% of the Florida GOP primary voters voted for a candidate that wasn't Trump, including their, you know, God Emperor, whether they like it or not, Ron DeSantis. Who got 3.7%, but Nikki Haley pulled 155,000 votes, 463,000 votes. Donald Trump ran away with it, of course, but it's that little fraction that you need. Like to Sharon, tell me if I'm wrong, to go out to vote and to actually not leave it blank, but vote actively for Nikki Haley, even though she's out of the race, feels a little bit like a protest vote to me against this nominee.
That's exactly where I was going. And I think it there are some telltale signs. It's early. We do have to account for non-Republicans showing up in a primary. But for Republicans who decide that they are going to leave their homes on election day and cast a ballot for two candidates who have dropped out, they quit, I think it is telling. Because they're either going to stay home when it comes to November, what is it, November 4th, or they're going to vote for the other guy. Yeah. And I think it's very telling. Again, it's early. Who knows? Okay, there's a lot of misinformation, disinformation between now and then, and we'll see. But when you're writing in candidates or pulling the lever for people who aren't even in the race, you might want to pay attention to that.
Yeah. Yeah, and no, that is important to know. And I was, to be clear, yeah, Democrats and independents could have come out, voted for Haley. But yeah, that Florida number, that doesn't look good. A Biden spokesperson actually had this to say. Republicans around the country are turning against Donald Trump. We're seeing it every day. Lifelong conservatives won't put up with this, his insanity anymore. To moderate Republicans, conservatives, and Nikki Haley voters, we'll welcome you with open arms to the Biden side. Now, I get this as a strategy. I don't know. I think a lot of them would not vote for Biden no matter what, because they think he is a communist prop of the CCP or something like this. But I also, just as a progressive, as someone who would like to see Biden move to the left on a lot of issues like immigration, which we're going to be talking about, like this ongoing genocide in Gaza. I see the writing on the wall here, which is Biden is like, nah, I don't really want the youth vote. I don't really care that people of color might not be voting for me or staying home. I want that Republican vote. I want that Republican vote. I want the centrist vote. I want the people who are sick of Donald Trump. I want that conservative or that centrist Republican, you know, ire to go in my direction. That's the way I'm reading it. And as much as that annoys the hell out of me, Sharon, because I believe that Democrats' strongest weapon is the youth vote and is people of color. And every time the youth vote or people of color don't come out to vote as much as the establishment would like, we're always browbeaten. We're always told that we should fall in line. Why didn't we do anything? What's wrong with us? And it's like, we've been saying the issues we care about for months now, and they've fallen on deaf ears because y'all are more concerned with getting the disaffected Trump voter. So, hey, I don't know. I don't know.
I agree with you again. Why don't you clean up your own house before you start courting someone else? In this regard, the Biden administration is like a man going through a marital separation, giving advice to the next guy who's thinking about pulling the trigger or perhaps staying in marriage or getting married. You need to worry about the people who have been there for you, who have said, listen, we don't like what's going on, Gaza, Netanyahu, whatever it is, we're not happy with you. And for you to then go out and court these other people who, at least one of whom, didn't even understand the root of civil war is rich. Yes. It really makes me very angry. It makes me very, you're still not getting it.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I said I think it will be, even though I would not personally advocate for this, I do think it'll be low voter turnout. I think everyone should vote. I think it's, look, whatevs, you know what I'm saying? This is a horrible system we live in, and we have to make it minimally less horrible. Also, it's fun to vote against Donald Trump. However, I do think it will be a low voter turnout. So we shall see. We're going to keep tabs on all of these stats. It'll be interesting. But let's move to a law we've been keeping close tabs on, as the entire world is, and specifically people in Texas. So Texas is draconian anti-immigrant law SB4 hangs in the balance after the Supreme Court lifted a hold that prevented it from going into effect and sent it back down to the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. That court is now conducting hearings on it today, and it will likely be kicked back up to the Supreme Court. So we shall see. But as a reminder of what is at stake here, SB4 makes illegal immigration a state crime, enabling state and local law enforcement to arrest those suspected of crossing the U.S.-Mexico border, who could then face deportation to Mexico or jail time. Now, the reason I underline the state part is that this is the jurisdiction of the federal government. This is U.S. Customs and Border Patrol's job to do just that. But Greg Abbott really needs to outdo himself when it comes to being awful, and is like, nah, not good enough for me. I'm going to make sure that we turn all of our law enforcement against immigrants instead of, I don't know, helping out communities in general. But cool. So the state of it now is that a three-panel judge A three-judge panel of New Orleans-based Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals split 2-1 in saying a brief order that the measure known as SB4 should be blocked. The same court is now hearing arguments on the issue this morning, Wednesday morning. And again, no matter how this shakes out, the appeals court's going to have arguments over the next month, and it'll probably go back to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court didn't say whether this law was constitutional or unconstitutional, which, to be honest, is a little worrisome when you have, again, this is the seeds of the, like, we need, like, secession movement, right? This is what happens when a state like Texas wants to go rogue and say, well, we're just going to do our own laws that supersede federal law. Like, that actually is unconstitutional, but look at our Supreme Court. A little bit more before I kick it to you, Sharon. Why does this law matter? What does it look like? Under this, according to the New York Times today, under the law, any migrant seen by police wading across the Rio Grande could be arrested and charged in a state court with misdemeanor on their first offense. A second offense would be a felony. After being arrested, migrants could be ordered during the court process to return to Mexico or face prosecution if they didn't agree to go. Critics say it could lead to the detention of people far from the border if police suspect that they are in the country illegally. Again, there is a wide jurisdiction that the Customs and Border Patrol have from the US-Mexico border. Apparently, that's not enough. This is all of Texas. Anyone can be rounded up and accused of being undocumented and detained. By the way, it is already a felony, a misdemeanor to cross the border. So what are we doing here, people? The new law effectively, again, allows state law enforcement officers all over Texas to conduct what until now has just been the US Border Patrol's work. Now, Mexico's having none of this. Mexico said they're not gonna accept deportations made by Texas under any circumstances. The country's foreign minister said on Tuesday in response to the US Supreme Court's decision to allow Texas to arrest migrants who cross into the state without authorization. So it's wild, and yet it's catching fire. But Sharon,
fire, it would be a great word for it. It's chaos. And just like you said, Mexico said they're not accepting people back, just like they said, we're not going to pay for the wall. And they didn't. Okay. So Greg Abbott wants chaos. Whenever he's out of the news cycle for a nanosecond or two, maybe a minute,
right,
he suddenly brings the heat again. Good thing police in Texas, though, we should feel good about this, are pretty perfect and don't make mistakes and won't deport the wrong people. It's happened before.
Yeah. No, 100%. And it's something, you know, that other states are trying to mimic. And ironically, states that aren't border states, which I don't know why this is a thing. It's almost like the less proximity you have to the actual border, the more scared you are of the border. Can I remind everyone how blue the actual border counties are? Even in Texas, y'all, these people do not like Governor Greg Abbott, all right? If you live there, you know what I'm talking about. But Iowa wants to send a Texas-style immigration enforcement bill to their governor, again, making it a misdemeanor for someone to enter Iowa illegally if they were previously deported or were denied entry into the US, or just they just want to get rid of undocumented people. Again, try running your economy without undocumented human beings. They are, after all, human. We'd like to see you try. Let's move on to this next story before. Oh, you want us to break? You know, see, I don't actually pull any strings. They're just puppets. They're the puppet master. I'm just that. We'll take a break. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to the Damage Report. A little bit left in this first hour. I just looked ahead. Oh boy. But first, we have to talk about Lena. We have to talk about, sorry to start the clip right here. Let's talk about Alina Haba. Obviously, this is Trump's lawyer who's representing him in a number of cases, including the E. Jean Carroll case. Didn't really work out for her in that one, did it? But she is thrown down with the big man. And apparently has had a long game of getting into Trump's inner circle. And she did that through actually orchestrating another hush money payment to a different Trump, this time a Trump employee. So let's get into the details. This was an exclusive from the Daily Beast, and it's really surprising. And actually, she's on the hook now for her behavior during this entire settlement. Okay, so it surrounds a former employee of Trump's New Jersey golf club who alleged that her boss was sexually harassing her, and then she was tricked into signing an unfair hush money deal. The club paid her $82,500, but the curiously worded contract left Trump's own attorney, Alina Haba, wide open to getting sued herself, because Alina had a role in all of this. The waitress's name, the employee's name, is Alice Bianco. And here are the details of her settlement. This is a 4-page settlement. Alice Bianco signed on March 4th, and it reads like a total win for the angered ex-employee. She gets to keep the measly $15,000 hush money payment she received in 2021 for keeping quiet about the way her supervisor repeatedly intimidated her and pressured her to sleep with him. Her attorney gets $82,500 for briefly litigating the case, and both sides can rip up the one-sided NDA. And the club doesn't admit it, quote, committed fraud to induce her into a shady deal. Remember, the fraud stuff is what got Trump into trouble with Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen, and that's currently being litigated. But then here is a line in this settlement that is really strange considering Alina Haba's role in all this. The line says, quote, the parties agree that Alina Haba is not party to this release. In other words, Alina Haba could still be on the hook for anything that happened in this whole sordid affair. She's not exempt. And here's what she actually did, according to this former employee, this waitress. Bianco feels that she was betrayed by Haba, who was one of her Bedminster regulars until her lawsuit says Haba posed as a concerned friend giving legal advice about how to address alleged sexual harassment by a supervisor, only to abuse that relationship and fraudulently inducing her to quickly agree to unconscionable and illegal terms. The alleged ploy, rapidly paced over just 2 weeks, gave Haba leverage to arrange a hush money deal that would curry favor with the former president and earn her way into his inner circle. So, long story short, short story long, Alina Haba was giving advice to Alice Bianco, the former Trump employee, saying, you know what, you should just sign this hush money deal. You should just do that. But after she did, Alina Haba gets basically promoted in Trump's circle. Now she's his lawyer. And Alice Bianco was like, what the hell did we just do? And now we have a new settlement going on that actually cuts Alina Haba out of this completely. And Bianco is now preparing to sue the club all over again, this time different, this time for sexual harassment, not for actually tricking her to keep her quiet. Now my head is spinning, but I hope people understand that Sharon, this is Alina Haba's origin story, and actually this new settlement with Alice Bianco cuts her out of any kind of immunity from the ire of this former employee.
Well, good, okay, but that's when are people going to wake up? You said at the beginning of this segment that she worked, Alina Haba did, very hard to become part of the inner circle here, and yet she's getting the same deal that other people got. Mm-hmm. Ones who've gone to jail, ones who are bankrupt, ones who can no longer afford hair dye, who were inside a Georgia courtroom and have been given a devastating judgment of their own. Once the mayor of New York, now just wandering around aimlessly, barely a place to sleep, lay his head, okay? Yeah. Talking about how Trump will get him closer to God. It's not true for Rudy, and it certainly isn't gonna be true for her, okay?
Yeah.
Is it, get your money up front. Every Trump lawyer who's worth anything knows that, and expect not to be shielded. Just like those lawyers who filed briefs on him in the Aileen Cannon case, the document case, who said, whoa, not part of this, okay? To protect themselves. Now, I don't know if she is just playing a lawyer, didn't realize that she needed to look after herself, but well, good. Maybe she'll learn.
Yeah, I mean, this is like it's just so bizarre because she's the one representing him now in these hush money cases against Stormy Daniels. And she herself has been cut out and made vulnerable in this other hush money, settlement that she helped fix. So it's just wild. And the guy has no loyalty. The only thing Alina Habba has is maybe Trump wins in November and she gets to be press secretary, which what is, ask Kayleigh McEnany, like, what is that? That's a ladder to a Fox News job, I guess. You know, like, and if that, maybe Newsmax. So it's just, what is Alina Habba's game here? When does she also jump ship? And who is the next, like, fawning rando to step up in her place? But it's just very interesting that, like, she's like, oh, I'll help you do the same thing that got you into trouble in the first place. And on top of that, Sharon, and lastly, let's remember, this is a woman who is deliberately tanking, cornering, and strong-arming another woman into staying silent about sexual harassment endured by a Trump staffer. It should not be lost on anyone the disdain Trump and his lackeys have for women in general. And it's insane to me that there are still women like Alina Habba who carry water for the patriarchy like this, who defend abusers, and who willingly throw other women under the bus in order to do so.
In the trenches, too. I mean, she's on the front lines of this, not just supporting this misogynist, accused rapist, who a judge said, yeah, pretty much, okay, don't come after me like you did Stephanopoulos. It is ludicrous that this person wants to touch this white hot light to nowhere. It really is. That's you want to be so close to this Kardashian-esque light, okay? But there's no $1 million or $1 billion payoff at the end. And Judge Giannini probably promised her to be press secretary too.
Oh God.
Can you imagine?
Oh, she's basically, I mean,
appointment,
that's
a television.
She's effectively his press secretary, and she doesn't like, she doesn't even need that job. All right, well, let's move to this final segment, which we're titling Yuck. That was lovingly placed by our producers. Just a little reminder, Trump is an unmitigated predator, leerer, lech. Take a look.
Donald, will you sign my hat?
Give me the pen.
Oh my goodness.
You're driving me crazy. That was Trump at an event, I believe in Mar-a-Lago, and he is stopping to sign a woman's hat, and he signs it and then notices, hey, she's good looking. I'm gonna just sort of try to mac on her from afar in a very yelly, which ask any woman, incredibly attractive, a yelly way, just like, nice event, huh? You're beautiful, you're driving me crazy. Now, I saw this and I was like, big deal. This is Trump on another day. This is Trump, he always does this. But it truly is just like, he's a slime ball, cannot prevent himself from being a slime ball. And he's so, it's so not presidential. And you wonder, like, if those women, like, were happy about that. Or if, again, sometimes when you meet a hero of yours and they're like actually kind of a creep, you get a little disenchanted. Sharon?
Unless the hero was born a creep and it's always been reported on, and he was on a bus out in Hollywood on a show and said he'd grab him in the you know what. This is the time for Melania to break out that coat again. I don't really
right.
care. Do you? Okay. Because this is how he's always behaved. This is how he always will behave. And I think the woman who asked this guy to sign the hat is incredibly giddy and more in love than ever.
Well, what about these voters. Here is a little bit of a reminder of how creepy it gets when Trump is among his superfans. Take a look. Well, that was gentlemanly. He signed it her shirt instead of her actual chest. That was in 2023, you guys. The kiss was 2015. That was 2023. He wants, like, what are we doing here? He's a former president. Like, even before that, it's just so ridiculous to me. I had missed that clip. But now I can not hold food down ever again. And here's some other smattering of disgusting. Obviously, Trump to Howard Stern back in the day. You can call my daughter a quote piece of ass. Trump told Stern he walked backstage when beauty queens were naked. We all remember that. Donald Trump once saw a child on an elevator and said, quote, I'm going to be dating her in 10 years. Yes, this is the guy who's going to bust up pedophilia rackets. The guy who looks at a child and is like, she's hot. Donald Trump also allegedly commented on Ivanka's breast backside and quote, what it must be like. I can't even finish the sentence. You can read it and we'll just leave it as that. And if you're listening as a podcast, you can imagine. Oh God, the Ivanka stuff is just, that really gets me. That's the one I have to like nope out of forever. But Sharon, this is when I think of, you know, Trump staffers or Giuliani staffers who are women who've spoken out about sexual harassment. Giuliani has an ongoing case against his assistant. You remember, and I'm forgetting her name, but the assistant to Mark Meadows, who said that Giuliani groped her, you know, and all of these, it's like, these are misogynists. They hate women and treat them like objects. That's what their entire MAGA movement represents. You have no role in the MAGA movement other than being like a guard dog or a piece of ass.
Yeah. How much more proof do you need? Okay, Borat showed me everything I needed to know about Rudy. Okay, that's enough proof right there. Okay, the guy did these piglet type things. And piglets like to hang out together and roll in the mud together. When I was watching him sign that woman's t-shirt, the second clip there, as I looked like a male arm was, you know, kind of holding the t-shirt taut, grabbing at her, because she's just an object. All that was missing were the buffalo wings and celery sticks.
Yes.
That's it. This is the world he exists in. And no, the only way America's going to be saved is he president again. It's the opposite. The standard is so low and we weren't that high to begin with. Now look at it, okay?
Yeah, I mean, I do think we are months away from a Melania divorce. I mean, I think that's the theme of today's show and I believe it is coming. Like what's one more trial? I mean, one more legal case to sort of handle, right? And one more settlement, let's go Melania. Apparently she was gonna divorce him if he didn't win the presidency. And then she was like, well, I want to see what it is like. I can't do my Melania anymore. My husband, I have to get it back when I, ah. Yeah,
that was good. And the only thing better would be the divorce and then marry Cat Williams. Because it's a circus already. She should marry Cat Williams afterwards.
Oh, he's got better taste than that, I think. But it would be a fun story. Speaking of fun stories, there are more fun-ish stories in the aftermath. But for now, Francesca Fiorentini, Sharon Reed, Damage Report, we'll be back after a brief break. Republicans are like, nah. We want snakes you know, or like we want eagles with whatever, you know what I mean? Like slingshots. I can't think of a good one. You keep that up, and with enough hard work, you will get a Blue Apron gift card.